Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Playing used to rally downtown in my city, and you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity, that's the motto with a PC. It ain't just my city, it's all over the TV. Martin Luther King, I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit, but the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame, and never take no wooden nickels when they all change. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
they say a picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the tech nine and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches, but why you in the club with some trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick, but it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Breeze told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stun. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right, welcome, peace, power, and love, family. This is the Panther Party Radio Network. This is the Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. I want to thank those of you, excuse me, who are listening online. I want to thank those of you, especially those of you, I'm noticing we're picking up quite a few listeners overseas, Ireland, Philippines. I see you brothers and sisters, Germany, Canada, U.S. as well. I appreciate all listeners, my listeners, my Boston family on activatemedia.org, Activate Radio, where this broadcast is replayed on Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Central. Just appreciate the love that I'm getting, and just want to let you all know I appreciate you all for listening, because I've said this hundreds of times, you know, I'm just Melvin Seary Jr., and I'm just trying to make a difference and provide a platform for us to speak our minds, not only that, to organize ourselves against what's holding us back, you know, and we've got to start recognizing and stay in recognition of the open enemy, which is the system, these entities that support this system, you know, including us with our dollars. You know, we allow this system to keep its foot on our neck. We allow this system to continue to do what it likes to do, which is suppress and oppress those who are suppressible and oppressible, and exert its power and force on those who don't fight back, who don't defend themselves, who go with the flow. But that's my message. And then I just want us all to get on one accord. That's my goal. That's my ultimate. The ultimate is that we just get on one page and start working together, start building together. But you all know what my platform is. Y'all have been listening long enough now to understand where I'm coming from. And I get on here from time to time and I rant when it's time to rant. And tonight may be one of those times when it's kind of time to rant a little bit. So this show sometimes gets slightly explicit. We're all adults here, and if you have kids under 13, I would suggest that you keep this show away from their ears, because there may be a explicit here or there. But you all know that who have tuned into the show. Like I say, it's nothing but power and love, as always. In greeting, and like I say, I just try to take advantage of these opportunities to bring things to the people's awareness, and I try to say something that may spark the mind of the young, of the youth, because that's really where the ultimate fight is going to lie, in the generations behind us. And we've got to start taking that into account, and we've got to start giving them the truth. And not only the truth, we've got to start giving them the weapons. And when I say weapons, I mean, first of all, the intellectual weapon, the weapon that can keep you from even having to pull a trigger if used correctly. And within that intellectual weapon lies several elements. And I guess I could break those down on another show. I may do another show later in the week. I may just touch on that and give my opinion. And then hopefully make a few calls and get a little panel put together where we can talk about the youth and rebuilding the youth, and giving them the weapons, the mentality, the intellect to fight. Because in any fight that you engage yourself in, you have to have the intellect to have planned, trained, and all of that. And with that, it takes a mental capacity, an intellectual capacity to stay disciplined, to stay on track, on course, on plan, on code, on the task at hand that you are preparing for. And we have got to start being in preparation, because little do we know, and I believe that we are, before I keep going, anyone who may be listening online and wants to call in, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. 914-205-5538. And that you can call in and listen, and if I say something that you want to interject, you're more than welcome. Feel free. Again, that's 914-205-5538. Okay, now I'll keep going because I didn't want to get 20 minutes into the show and not do that. But really, yeah, our focus should be on priority black first. We need to start, like I say, preparing our youth. And I'm not going to touch on the youth. Like I say, I may backdoor Wednesday and do another show and kind of cover the points to weaponize the mind first. You got to prepare the mind before, anyway, because the mind is the strongest object we have at our utilization next to the heart. And the heart, you know, is a very strong muscle. But what can be said to spark the mind? What can be said to motivate the people? Because there's a pecking order, and some of us think just because of the time that we've been here, warrants us respect. And just because you're 45 or you're 52, like myself, and just because I'm 52 years old doesn't warrant me any certain amount of respect. You would hope that people would be courteous and show respect like we did with our elders when we were younger. And that's why I say, you know, it's a must that we grab our youth mentally and start to give them the true lessons of the village and the true lessons of who they are, because with knowing who you are gives you, I'm just going to be real, being able to know who you are as a person mentally, physically, your bloodline, who your lineage, and your true worth as a person, and not just what you've been told for decades and decades and centuries, you know. And anyone that does any researching, any historical researching of this country and is coming into being and existence was on the backs of our ancestors, and we all know that. That's a historical fact that they for some reason want to try to sweep under the rug like they do everything else, like try to soften the blow, so to say. We all know the truth of America and its history and its brutal history, you know. So that's something that really doesn't have to be harped on. It doesn't have to be, you know, constantly talked about, and especially the fact that we still experience it today. So we don't have to just constantly talk about it and talk about it and talk about it because it's being seen by the world now. We do need to start doing in the midst of the constant police killing, brutality, and then I was running through some information and clicked on YouTube earlier, and I saw where there was another shooting. I really didn't read the article. Sometimes I'll just save them and I'll go back because when you research a lot of stuff, you run into more stories that are similar in content. And I try not to overload my brain with just the bad news. And it's like there's really no good news. Last night, while I'm on good news, because everybody seemed to be so excited about the little drab ass, halftime show, you know, the well orchestrated money maker, which I saw bits and pieces. I don't really give a damn about the NFL. I don't really give a damn about most of these systems that are in place here in this country because they do not benefit us long term. Yeah, while they're playing, they make a few million here, but that is, to me, still the equivalent of the master and slave owner scenario, because, you know, we are being bought and sold. And I've said this a few times. I was actually talking to someone, my sister, earlier today, and I was telling her, like, honestly, Ice Cube's 3-on-3 league is a perfect blueprint of how black athletes could come together, market themselves, and build their own league from scratch. And mind you, Ice Cube's league isn't the NBA, but it doesn't have to be. It's entertaining for those who gravitate to that kind of atmosphere and entertainment. And not only that, it's not through the roof expensive, and you get to meet some NBA legends, attend the games, you know, and I've never attended one. They do come to Dallas, but I've never, like, being on the road, being a truck driver, never really had the opportunity to attend one. But when I get my business going and get things situated, I definitely plan to do a lot more networking and event attending around the city. And like I say, just getting myself initiated, so to say, because I met several activists here in the Dallas area, but I really want to grind with them because it's time to grind. In every city, it's time to grind. We have got to recognize not just how important your existence is. And let me flip that around. not just recognizing how important my existence is. Because, see, my existence, yes, to some may be important. But like I say, to me, I'm just Melvin Seary Jr. I'm just a messenger. I'm just a vessel. I'm just a tool that is, I am willing to be used. And I'm willing to speak truth. And when I know information, gather information, and, yeah, I'll bring it. And then I like to, yeah, of course, you know, we're all opinionated, so I give my opinions. But these are things, like I say, like where we need these type of platforms and others, and that's where we all really should start linking up and working together, those of us with these platforms, where we can not only bring more listeners to the platform and more voices to the platform, but to bring us together, because it's really not about just having these platforms. It's really about using them to bring us together and bring us on one accord and on the recognition of who's for us and who's against us. And there's a lot of people who are against us, more against than for. Believe that. And if you don't believe it, really, really get out more. Get out just a little bit more, you know, because nobody is doing anything with the interest of black people gaining ground, with the interest of black people, period. And that's why I say it's important that we celebrate one another and start making way, advancements and doing things in a collective fashion where we can gain, like I've been saying over the last few shows, where we can gain things that are beneficial long term, not just short term, because this system will feed us enough to feed it right back to it, to the system. It'll give you just enough to give back to them and leave you with basically nothing, you know. And that's why I'm also, over the last few weeks, I've been speaking on the importance of us building and on the fact that we don't have anything. We don't have shit that we can call ours. We don't have anywhere we can go that's outside this system or under this system's umbrella, which keeps this system alive. And see, the only way to kill a horse is to not give it hay or water or feed. And the only way to kill a capitalistic system is to not give it the time. No. Let me start over. The only way to kill a capitalistic system is to not give it the finances that it needs, not in, and to stop investing your time into it, because those are the things that keep us attached to it, investing our time and money into it. And we all do it. We all shop, and we're going to be consumers. That is just somebody's got the supply and people demand it, so somebody has got to make that money. But my thing is, yeah, there are those of us out here who are blessed enough to have businesses. And then another thing too that simplifies it is there are a few websites, and I haven't really ever taken the time to just research the black websites that are out there for us to utilize, where we can stay out of the big box stores. You know, right now, this country, pay attention to how this country is in a true crunch right now. And the price of everything is going up. You know, milk, I don't really drink milk, but I mean meat. I try not to eat a lot of meat, but you know, I eat meat at least once a day. Price of goods, and I've been saying for the last few months, I mean, I saw this coming because I'm in the transportation field. So I knew that there was going to be bare shelves just because of the activities that I saw in and around warehouse facilities, the backhaul situations. So I knew that there was going to come a time, and then you couple that with people quitting, walking off of jobs because the pay is not enough. You know, and we're living in a society, a capitalistic society that truly had a good plan but didn't execute it at all. Greed took over. And when greed took over, it was everybody wanted more, and then it was about the power that came with that. So you had people cutthroat, people doing whatever needed to be done to get the most. And even when you have enough, it's still never enough. I mean, I've made this statement several times about this system. How can you have it all? And it's racism. And those are the two things that built America, racism and capitalism, you know, and classism as well. But some people's want for power, just like now, as usual, the United States is about to stick its nose in somebody else's business, like it does everything right, and it allows its policemen to just hunt and kill black people at will, and then they will make up laws that will escalate those types of situations, that lets those types of entities know as long as they keep doing the job that they are doing and performing the way they are performing, the government, we are not going to bother you. We're going to let you kill niggas and Mexicans and any others that you want. And hey, feel free to jump in on the act too, you good patriot citizen. And I think that by now everybody should know when you hear that word patriot what and who it refers to, because the Trumpers used it quite a bit. You know, and know that when they are referring to the word or saying and using the word patriot. It has nothing to do with us. That is like the good old boys. And, you know, that underground network of neo-Nazis and white nationalists that lurk amongst us. Yeah, and I said lurk because they always sitting, listening, plotting and planning. And I had one call the show one night, and I straight told him, I have no sympathy nor compassion for you, and I really don't understand their anger with the government, because this government built a whole system catered to them and for their success. You know, so I just don't have compassion for those types of individuals, neo-Nazis and Trumpers. And, you know, there's a country that was put together for you, laws that was put together for Caucasian men and women to be able to commit murder and just do whatever it is that they wanted to do over here, as long as they did it to black people. They could lynch us, burn us. They could kick your door in at 1 or 2 in the morning and drag out your kids or your nephews or your cousins or whoever and do whatever to them without consequence. And that is the problem with this country, because that is what still exists in this country. The same mentality, and we help them fund it. We help them fund it. We consistently, and I read just the other day where it went from $1.3 trillion to last year, it actually went up to $1.6 trillion. And mind you, I've always said that the number is bigger than what they're telling us, because is where the power lies in a capitalistic society. And $1.6 trillion subtracted from this government, from this system, would be detrimental to this government, to this system. The economy is already shaky, and it's time for us, y'all need to hear me when I say this, it's time for us, and when I say us, I mean those of us who are tired of this system taking advantage of the people. And it's a whole lot of it that goes on. And there's a whole lot of people that suffer outside black people. Believe it or not, we're not the only ones. I've said this several times. Yeah, poor white people, you might need to start trying to link up instead of riding that Trump train. Because I'm going to tell you, the Trump train going to run off the side of the cliff too. Anything done for bad ain't going to work. It may work for a little while, and you may get away with it for a little while and all of that, yeah. But we all know karma makes its rounds. We all know that what you do comes right back around to you. And that's why I try not to create bad aura. I try to do things the right way. I've been accused of a lot of things, and I don't care. I know how I'm trying to live and what I say, don't say, and do and don't do. And I don't have to lie to anybody because I'm not scared of anybody. Nobody out here scares me, period. I don't care how big you are, none of that. You have a gun right in my face, I'm still not scared of you. Only thing you have the power to do is take my life at that moment, and that's it. That's it. So I don't fear that. I don't let that overwhelm me. You know, and I guess that's why I'm not scared to speak, because somebody has to do it. But we all have a part to play. All of us. Well, those of us who really won't change, because some of us are cool with the going along to get along. Some of us act like some of us act like it's still the 1930s and you got the whisper. You can't say that. They might hear you. That mentality. Yeah, some of us still got that, shh, shh, to go master. So what? So what? Some things not only need to be said, some things need to be heard. See, and that's the thing about us. We are not being heard. Why is that? There's only two reasons. There's only a few reasons you're not heard. You're not heard either because you're not speaking or because the person you're speaking to is deaf, or the person that you're speaking to don't give a damn. It's just flat out ignoring you. And that calls for a different approach where you will get his attention. And see, that's what we have failed to do. We have failed to get the attention of the one whose attention needs to be got. And we need to make them pay attention. And not only pay attention, but listen. And when I say listen, not that listening that they're doing right now, that listening where when we move in the right way and our finances are supporting us more than it's supporting them, they'll listen. Then they'll be ready to talk a different talk. They'll be ready to give us that 40 acres and a mule because they still have it. They still have, they've been giving away, they gave away money in October. This administration gave away money in October to the Hispanic families that were split up at the borders. Now, I have no problem with those families being compensated for what the government did wrong. But what the government did wrong to us has never been compensated, has never even been considered. They'll sit and talk about reparations. And then the end result will be they have no money. Now, this administration wanted to give those families in excess of like over a little over $4 million per family. But Congress and, you know, all of them wasn't going for that. But what they settled on was still a very nice amount of money, which was $450,000, I believe, that they paid the families that were separated at the border. And I don't know, it didn't say how many families were going to receive that payment, but that was the amount I read. This was a few months back. when I read this, but this happened in October under this Biden-Harris administration. And not only that, we saw where, what, 3 months or so into their time, Joe Biden handwrites a anti-Asian hate legislation that passes no problem. And we have yet to even get the anti-lynching bill passed. Think about that. They've been lynching us since they got us here. So we all know how long that's been. Oh, yeah. We definitely know how long and how much suffering and crying that's been. And they still cannot. Hell, they still haven't even passed the George Floyd legislation. And not even thinking about passing it. Just like they're not thinking about passing the anti-lynching bill. And that's why I say these laws on the book that still allow the Caucasian to get away with murder. And if you're a policeman, one of these punk-ass cops in America, you definitely get to kill without impunity and get away with cold-blooded murder. Or if you do some time, it's only, you know, chump time. Like you go to sleep and wake up and you getting out. That bullshit for murdering people. And then half of them that do get a conviction in time are immediately appealing it. Some appealing it before they even start serving their time. So, you know, what kind of atmosphere does that create? You know, And who's the authority, you know, who is supposed to be doing the right thing for everybody, but who doesn't do it, and who's allowed to get away with it? So, okay, I see I've been talking 45 minutes. I just had a lot to say then. So I'm going to take a real quick break. If you're listening online, feel free to call in 914-205-5538. Again, 914-205-5538. This is the Panther Party Radio Network and the Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr. And we'll be back after this quick break.
I'm the Deputy Chairman of the State of Illinois Black Panther Party, Fred Hampton. And a lot of people don't understand the Black Panther Party's relationship with white mother country radicals. A lot of people don't even understand that word that Elvis uses a lot. But what we're saying is that there are white people in the mother country that are for the same type of things that we are for, assimilating revolution in the mother country. And we said that we'll work with anybody and form coalition with anybody that has revolution on their mind. We're not a racist organization because we understand that racism is an excuse used for capitalism. And we know that racism is just it's a byproduct of capitalism. Everything would be all right if everything was put back in the hands of the people. And we're going to have to put it back in the hands of the people. Every everybody in the state of Illinois is going to have to be involved or even around the revolution, because we're going to have one. We're going to have to do more than talk. We're going to have to do more than listen. We're going to even have to do more than learn. We're going to have to start practicing, and that's very hard. We got to start learning, and you learn through practice. We got to start making mistakes, and you learn through making mistakes. We got to start getting out there with the people. And a lot of times we think we're better than the people, but that's an insult, and that's criminal. Think you're better than the people. So we got to get together and learn where it's at. It's going to take a lot of hard work. Education for children is something else. You ought to dig on it. Every sister in this audience. Ought to get themselves together and come on down and help us with that Breakfast for Children program. Y'all ought to come down and help feed them children in the morning. We have Breakfast for Children because we teach the people through practice, through observation and participation, that people can be fed free. That's the people thing. Socialism is the people. You're afraid of yourself. If you're afraid of socialism, you're afraid of yourself. We know they have our pictures. We know they're looking for us. We know they want us. But we're still saying that even though we could be in a sense, as far as this system goes, on the mountaintop, we in the Black Panther Party, because of our dedication and understanding what's in the valley, knowing that the people in the valley, knowing that we originally came from the valley, knowing that our flag is the same flag as the people in the valley, knowing that our enemy is on the mountaintop, our friends are in the valley, we say even though it's nice to be on the mountaintop, we're going back to the valley. I be in the office every day. I be in the streets propagandizing every day. I be working with everybody every day. I be teaching that solidarity is the thing. The end of a complete wipeout of imperialism is the thing. So if you're going to be thinking about me, that's what Bobby would be teaching. If you're going to be thinking about us, all we say is ain't no thing about going nowhere, getting killed. All we want to know is that you're doing what we'd be doing if we were here. And you've got to do that. You can't do it unless you believe that you can do it. In the spirit of liberation, we understand that they want everybody in the party in jail. And we know that if we try to figure out and separate and divide who should go and who shouldn't go, we spend more time doing that, than working for the people. So the quick solution, the speedy one, nobody go. We all stay right here. With the people. Because we love the people. Okay, you can put your hands down now. We say all power to all people. We say white power to white people.
Brown power to brown people.
Yellow power to yellow people.
Black
power to black people.
Black power
to bulls that we left out. We say Panther power to the Vanguard Party. When you leave here, before you go to bed tonight, say, I am a revolutionary. Make that the last word. In case you don't wake up, then somebody might believe it and you might, you know, end up in what they call a revolutionary happy hunting ground. Say that. I am a revolutionary. Say it when you're going out. Okay, we're going to say it while we're going out.
Hey, we're going to start a thing called Free Fred. Don't that sound nice? Hey, let's do that. Free Fred.
Free Fred.
Free Fred.
Free Fred.
Free Fred. Hey, I ain't even in jail yet.
All right, welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. That was the awe-inspiring, just another one of my idols, one of the people that I look up to, that really put time in and also, you know, gave his life literally to this fight and to this struggle that we're still, you know, unfortunately going through right now, the struggle that we're still fighting right now to hopefully one day prevail. And like I say, also in preparing the younger generation for what's ahead. And before the break, I was talking about the authority and just the things that we are still dealing with. And I say we deal with a lot of things that we should correct. It's really no secret now. I'm sure that everybody has heard about the Amir Locke murder. And this is just another instance where police get to do what they want to do as opposed to what they should do. You know, I've done some reading a few days back, and I read where the police actually wanted the no-knock warrant, and they were the ones that requested. And mind you, the judge that signed that warrant in Minnesota, that no-knock warrant, was the same judge that presided over the George Floyd murder, which to me it is neither here nor there, but he, you know, sentenced him. They sentenced him to 20 years, whatever, and then he'll get this federal time that is coming for the hate crime charges. But, like I say, I don't think really to me it didn't matter that he was the same judge, but really what mattered was that they were one of the cities that swore to stop doing the no-knock warrants after the Breonna Taylor murder that happened in Kentucky. So after that murder with Breonna Taylor, a lot of cities said that they would stop. And then, like I say, Minnesota was really one of the ones that stepped, because that was during the time of the George Floyd incident. Minnesota has been notorious as well with getting away with the murder and the shootings. And this with Amir Locke, we've all, like I say, saw the video by now and saw how they snuck in very quietly. And then as soon as they kicked the door, you know, unlocked the door, it was immediate just, you know, be as loud and noisy and kicking walls and screaming and hollering and kicking the couch. And I don't fault the young man for grabbing his weapon. He was a licensed carrier. Being startled out of your sleep like that, yeah, I mean, if you got a weapon available, yeah, you're going to utilize it. He had no opportunity to even use the weapon, much like the situation that happened with Breonna Taylor. And her boyfriend was able to at least grab his weapon and use his weapon, you know, but yet and still a life was lost, you know, Breonna Taylor's life was lost. And there's just been so many instances and circumstances where these killer cops, you know, kick in doors and shoot through windows and unlock doors and go in and kill people and pay little to no penalty. And, you know, it's just like I say, so many similarities. Got an another case, and this case happened back in 2021, actually, but it's just now really getting recognized and getting, you know, really media attention, in which it should have already been utilized, and it should have already been, you know, media worthy, because it was the case with DeMontario Gibson, where they this young man was actually in the on his job, and they followed him in his a mom, a son, and a father followed him in his FedEx truck, much like the Ahmaud Arbery case, where, like I say, even, and I say too, in so many circumstances and situations that regular old citizens get involved and get the opportunity to kill us too, and, you know, suffer little to no consequence, you know, just like the situation that I talked about a couple of weeks ago, where the young lady ended up dead, and then she, you know, I think this was up in Connecticut, if I'm not mistaken, but they still didn't arrest the guy. He was woke up next to the girl, and they didn't question him. They didn't go to the website where they met. They just really don't do thorough investigations when it comes to us. And then not only that, they try to vilify us before they actually let us be the victim, just like we actually are the victim at times. I'm going to blind here. Give me just one moment here. Okay.
Hi.
All right. Hi, how are you?
Great, great, great. This is Kimberly and Sister Queenie Solomane. Both of us are on here together. We just want to let you know we're listening to you tonight. We hear you and we're with you.
Thank you, sisters. Thank you. Appreciate y'all listening. Yeah, just really trying to, I don't know, bring some light to some of these cases and these situations that are happening, because I'm just a firm believer that, you know, we have to get concerned. And then, you know, I'm probably going to, I was saying earlier, I want to do a show Wednesday probably, and really dig into what we can do to give our youth the intellectual weapon, and then break down the elements, at least in my opinion, that we need to arm them with. Because,
oh,
I mean, just like in this America.
I wasn't even trying to go here tonight. I was liking the way that you were handling everything. And Queenie is driving, so I don't know how much she's going to be able to talk. Can you hear us, Queenie?
Yeah, I got
you. Okay. So this is my opinion, and then I'm going to hush and let you finish because you're doing a wonderful job, okay? But I think the only thing we really need to do in order to equip our youth is to go ahead and take the lead and take the reins ourselves first. That's the biggest example. that's the biggest, that's really the biggest thing we can do them is to lead by example. Now, I don't mean we need to get out there and fight and fuss, but we just need to actually get out there and show them by the way that we live and by the way that we carry ourselves, that we value ourselves, number one. And I think that will kind of be a start, because right now what the youth are seeing is us bowing and just kind of going along with the program and, you know what I'm saying, and just being a part of the system. It's like we're taking our part and that's just it. And then we hand a baton over to them that basically says, hey, you're just going to do the same thing, bow, scratch your head. Might fight a little bit, and they're going to pat you on the head and tell you to go on. You know, rather than us just kind of coming together with ourselves and moving on in our direction. Because I don't know of anywhere, any lifetime, where you got to keep asking your oppressor to allow you to move on. You just move on at some point. But that's just my opinion.
I agree. And that's the point I was going to make. Because, I mean, just like with this new situation in Minnesota, and like I say, I was reading and doing some research on that earlier and ran across another case, and it was another young man who was shot multiple times by a policeman, and it just gets to a point where we're being sacrificed anyway, regardless of who, what, when, where, whatever. None of that really matters. We're being sacrificed. Lives are so much valuable than they are portrayed. And right now, I mean, we're losing a lot of people right now to sickness. This COVID is not playing, and people with underlying health conditions are suffering. I just went to a funeral Saturday of one of my friends that I grew up with. She was 1 year younger than I, and I'm just to a point. Excuse me?
You talking about one of our friends in home building?
Yeah,
I'm talking about a funeral that happened. This funeral happened back in East Texas. The young lady, they found her deceased. But
we know who you're talking about.
Yeah, the point is, we are suffering at the hands of others. We're suffering due to this COVID. And I don't know, I get up early every morning, and first thing I do when I get up, I just sit up and I meditate. It's real quiet. I can listen. I can really focus. And there are just some things that literally disturb me, and just the fact that we are non-reactionary to our own demise. And I know that it happens internally as well, but the fact that it still happens externally is what's bothersome, because our whole existence here, and especially once we became a free people, when we became a free people, we didn't have none of the things that they told us they were going to give us. We took nothing, and every little city, community, black community that was set up was destroyed, because we weren't supposed to ever have anything. And even that, even though we worked for it and even though we took and pulled ourselves up by the bootstraps, as they say, it still wasn't good enough. And just because we were able, our ability to be able to obtain things that some of them were not able to obtain is what angered them, what upset them. And I made a point earlier about the white supremacist that called into my show that night, because I told him, I don't sympathize with you because I don't understand their anger with the government that was created for them to succeed, for one. And then if you can't succeed in a society that was built for you to do so, that says something about you. And not really the system. So I don't understand their anger with the government, who still to this day creates laws to put them ahead, to keep them out of trouble.
Well,
and that's why.
That's true. What you're saying is true. But honestly, I think that we need to start looking at things from a whole different perspective. And I'm saying that because maybe that's the issue. You said ever since we were freed, we didn't have blah, 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 blah. But if you look at it outside the box or look at it from a different angle, maybe we were not freed. Maybe that is the time that we actually
right.
went into captivity.
Exactly.
And that's why you don't have certain things. And maybe, mm-hmm. you know, I'm just saying we need to start looking. We need to start flipping these scripts. You know, they told
yeah,
you, they said you was free, but it wasn't. I bet back then
exactly.
they didn't tell people they were free.
Yeah.
And so,
because
and
they went into a psychological slavery.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about. It seems like it's
mm-hmm.
a psychological thing, because that was psychological.
They took the chains off your hands, but they put them on your brain.
They put them on your brain and on your heart.
Yes, right.
Because that's psychological warfare. To
mm-hmm.
let people see whatever they build being destroyed all the time. That we're prisoners of war. We wasn't no slaves.
That's right.
We were not
exactly.
no slaves. We are currently enslaved now. And unfortunately, and I hate to go here because this is a sore
yeah,
subject with us.
Slavery.
Well, yeah. I mean, and I hate to go here because this is a very sore subject with us. But Kanye was right. People don't like, a lot of us don't want to hear that, but Kanye was right. The slavery that we are experiencing now is by choice. And I'm not saying that we're choosing to be oppressed. That's not what I mean. What I mean is we're choosing to not to look at things from a different way so that we can move differently. So things that we should not accept, we've been accepting because we accepted their story. When they said we were slaves and they brought us over in these ships and they treated us this way and they treated us that way. Uh-uh. No. I don't think we should just accept their narratives anymore. And I think that that's actually where a new beginning starts, is we need to tell the story. And we need to, even if we have to make it up, they made up some stuff and we just went along with it. I'm just saying we just need to flip the script. You
yeah,
know, take the reins.
Going,
look at it from a different direction.
What I was going to get at is a point that I had made earlier. Where I was at, but my point was to be just, I'm more to a mindset now of just like, oh, I know where I was at. My point with the towns, the small towns that were built, and like I say, yeah, we took nothing and made something out of all those towns. We made enough with those towns from nothing that it aggravated, agitated, and made people envious enough to just take those towns. Like, I know like the situation in Slocum, Texas. And that situation started not because of the normal devil in the blue dress scenario. It started just because one morning the white individuals of Slocum, Texas was envious of the land and the businesses that the black people had established there, and woke up one morning and just started killing black people and taking the land. And that's why I say, too, that we are going to have to prepare ourselves for this sacrifice. We are going to have to start reconnecting with our youth who are being sacrificed. And I mean, we're all being sacrificed, but they're targeting our young men, our young women. And that, just like I heard an elder break it down about the Amir Locke case, and I never really thought about it. And that just made me go back to all of the young people who have lost their lives at the end of these coward police guns. And, you know, that kills a whole generation, because that kills his kids' kids. That, so that kills several generations that he may have been responsible for. In Breonna Taylor's case, another where she had no children to my knowledge, and that just kills another whole lineage of thinkers, of intellectuals, of doctors, lawyers, or whatever may have been created from that lineage. And I, when I heard that brother break it down like that, it really took me back to, like, Tamir Rice, Trayvon Martin, Mike Brown, and all the other young people who lost their lives for no reason, Botham John, you know, people who were productive and going places. And even within our communities, when we are killing one another, we don't know what we are taking from ourselves. And, you know, that has to stop too. But my focus is, how can we constantly, not how, why do we constantly keep letting this system and the people who use this system to their advantage? And I was on a Queen show a couple of weeks ago, and I asked her this same question, and she said, because I asked her, why is it that we keep allowing them to get rid of us, murder our children, murder our elderly, and we never come with a plan of action? And she answered and said, because they have never had to shed tears. And I felt that, because even in a righteous mind state, we have the right to defend ourselves, and we defend ourselves against one another when we should truly be defending ourselves against our open enemy. And not only that, what I was going to say, going from what our ancestors had as far as land, city blocks, businesses, see, they were about to master something. And whatever it is we do and start building, we do it the right way, and we do it for longevity. And my point was, we right now can start rebuilding the villages that should exist now that were taken by the hands of these terrorists. It's time to not be so fearful of death, because death is coming to all of us. And I want to just say something, because after having my heart attack on November the 18th, and as I sat there in my truck waiting on an ambulance, my body was fighting, but my spirit was at peace. And I'm still here because something greater than me wants me here, needs me here. And I claim November 18th as my rebirth, because it's my second chance to keep pushing and even go harder. And I'm in a situation with my back now, but that still doesn't eliminate my ability to accomplish or to continue to push forward, to continue to drive. And I feel like, too, sometimes you get what you ask for. And in my situation, I think I go through a lot of my hard times because of the prayers that I prayed in my younger days to make me a strong man. And the only way you're going to be a strong man or a strong individual, in period, is to go through some really trying times. And I've been there, up, down, sideways, and I took myself through some hard times unnecessarily. But I feel like, too, that's why we're so important to one another, because we all go through, as black people, similar situations. And if we don't go through them, we know a family member that's went through it. And that's why I say we've got to start working together, because we're not a monolithic people, but we have some of the same similar experiences. And that's why we've got to understand our helpfulness and our ability to be helpful to one another and to help fix one another. You know, because that is what we're truly supposed to do, serve one another. And see, this is what I broke down to some brothers at the barbershop the other day. We're responsible for this planet. This planet was given to us, and it's time for us as black men, and I'm just speaking black men right now, because it's up to us to give our communities the ability to be comfortable and function in a normal way. And it's up to the black man to provide that protection, to do that. And that comes with sacrifice. And like I was saying about my heart attack situation, it just really let me know my purpose. I'm on track. I'm a speaker. I'm not a preacher. I just want people to change. I want us to be able to work together. We deserve so much more than we have. And sometimes we keep each other from the things that we're supposed to have. And our ancestors laid so many blueprints on how we can free ourselves. And our first step is just, like you said, sister, we don't need their permission. We can buy and purchase land and do as we will with it. The land never loses value. And what we put on the land will add value. And we have to think, because something else I was telling the brothers, everybody is going to have their time to suffer. And the white man's time to suffer is upon us. Those who have done devilment, those who have done wrong, and those who feel as if they don't have to apologize for what their granddaddy and them did, you know, their day is coming. Just like we've had our time and we've had our day, our ancestors, as well, everybody will have an experience suffering. And when the Most High, when the universe sends suffering, you can't run from that. And I'm just watching things that are happening here. And that's why I say we've got to really work on separating ourselves physically away from them, because they have a price to pay. And I'm just watching weather patterns, how tornadoes are happening in some of those real redneckish, racist places like Alabama, Kentucky, and all up in through there. And they happening during the winter months, you know, so just like hurricanes that travel the same path as the slave ships. So some things I don't feel are coincidence. Some things I feel are part of the plan. And two, part of the plan is, when are we going to act on our own behalf and waiting on somebody to act on our behalf? The Most High ain't never, he's never unprepared, you know. So whenever we get ready, he's always going to be ready. And a lot of times I feel like we're waiting on something, and the source is waiting on us, because the source is in us. And that's what everybody besides us knows, that we're connected directly to the source. And just like I told my mom, you know, when that time comes, I'm going to be a tool, because somebody has to be willing to make the ultimate sacrifice in order for the generations behind us to survive. And if we didn't have those type of people before us, we wouldn't be here now. And on that, I'm a yell because I've been talking for a minute.
No, you're good. I hear you. I think that, you know, a lot of what you said is right on point. I still say it's time for us to start looking at things from a whole new direction and stop just accepting the story as it's being told. And, you know, that number one, I think that in and of itself would solve half of the problem. The land, you know, we know the stories about them taking land. They still taking land. They never stop. They still take land. It's, you know what I'm saying? So,
right.
And it was our land, period. It's ours. But on the day that we wake up and say, this is ours, this was always ours, and actually believe it and start to act on it, then the way we act will be different. We don't have to react. You're right when you say that. You know, we're tired of always reacting, and we're tired of always being the victim. It's really just about us, number one, accepting who we are. We need to start actually where we are and go from there. I think the generations before us did what they could. They held us up. You know what I'm saying? Without them, we wouldn't be of the mindset that we are now. But at the same time, I don't think that we as a people have evolved. I think we have devolved, because I truly believe that at the time that they said we were so-called free, we probably was a stronger mind then. And I definitely was a stronger body. Even at that point, what they have done now has weakened us down. And then also another thing is, we got to get past, I won't say get past, we got to start thinking about, rather than thinking of passing the baton to the next generation, we need to start, we got to carry that baton too. You know, the next generation, the best way to prepare them is for us to, even if we have to start now, is for us to do what we came here to do, and not just assume that because, you know, we are of certain ages that we can't do these things anymore, because that's kind of how this society has been working to condition us. And about the white people, like the ones that called into your show, I don't know where they were coming from, but I do know that the white people wasn't free either. Now, some of them have drank the Kool-Aid a little more than the others. And when I say that, mm-hmm. I mean some of them truly think that they are better than us. And some of them truly think that, you know, that they are somehow set apart, you know. But then you got some who might actually know better, who might actually be real people, and who might actually have a legitimate grudge against the government. But we don't know where they're coming from because we haven't taken the time to flip the script and start looking at things from a different perspective, because they know a lot about us that we don't know about ourselves. They know who we are. And I can guarantee you the ones that call into your show, they probably are part of that group that actually know who we are. We don't know who we are. And I'm just saying we need to start shaking it up, you know. Even if we might be what they call wrong, it doesn't matter. We need to kind of flip the script, shake it up, and stop just accepting the story as it's been told. That whole thing about the hurricane following the pathway of the slave ship, I find that a little suspicious now, because it's mighty strange that a hurricane can come and follow that same pathway now, but it couldn't follow it back then to stop it. You know what I'm saying? And some people say, oh, it's the spirits and the souls of those people. Well, no, I don't buy that anymore. I used to. And I'm not saying I'm right. Honestly, I'm not. I'm really just trying to look at things from a different perspective, because I believe that an answer lies in looking at things from a different perspective, because all these things that we've been taught have not worked in our favor. So I know that it's something else out there. And I'm sorry, I just talked a whole lot.
No problem. That's be good. Ain't nothing that we've been given here been beneficial for us. And that's why I was saying a minute ago, it's like it's really, truly time for us to, those of us who are ready to truly separate from them, find parts of the
country. But we don't have to physically separate is what I'm saying. This land is ours. I'm saying we ain't got to go nowhere. We ain't got to try to gather everybody up.
What I'm really saying for us to do is centralize ourselves. We need to start bringing ourselves together and physically away from them. Yeah, because the more of us that congregate in one place, they'll leave. And that's what we need to start doing, forcing them into their natural habitat. Because honestly, if I could have my way, this is going to sound crazy, but they love the cold. Go up north. Go inhabit the north.
But
up there.
I don't believe it's supposed to be cold even up north is what I'm saying. I think, to be honest with you.
The whole planet and this country was once upon a time warm land, but I'm saying
exactly.
Right now, as far as the habitat is, go up north.
I don't think we need to tell them
looking,
to go anywhere.
Go ahead.
No, what I'm saying is, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to cut you short. I'm just saying, I think we just need to do what we're going to do, and you'll see they will fall by the wayside, and they will start to disappear. I'm saying I don't think we have to have an elaborate plan. I think we just need to do something. Just do it.
True, but in order to do something, it has to be a plan. In action. I mean,
no,
I watch.
It does.
I watch.
They operate like that. That's how they operate. They got to have a plan. That's how they done what they've done. But say, for instance, I wake up today and I say, you know, the hell with these white folks. I'm going to get out here and I'm not moving. I ain't going to stop going to my so-called job till it finally just magically disappears. But what I am going to do is I'm fixing to get out here. I'm fixing to do my sun dances. I'm fixing to talk to the sun. I'm fixing to do my gardening. To hell with them. And at some point, big little drop off. Have you ever noticed that they only come aboard when something quote unquote gets big amongst us? And then here they come to mess it up. It's because it's big enough for them to see, and then we allow them to be included. But before it got to where they were included, we were just doing our thing. I'm just saying we just need to really start doing our thing and stop worrying about what they do, what they let us do, what they have done in the past. Just start.
Yeah, but I mean,
in
order to start, you have to be organized. And like I was, the point I was going to make.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
I'm just saying I don't believe we need to be organized. I think that's part of the issue, is that we've been sold this thing about we got to get it, you know, together and everybody's got to be on one accord and this, that, and the other. They're not even on one accord. It don't take but a couple of them to get something going and then the rest of them join in. And then if you notice, that's how we operate as well. Once somebody gets something going, then everybody else jumps on. And I think that's the way we need to start moving forward now.
Collectively, we haven't moved in the same direction in a long time. We haven't moved
right,
in the same direction.
That we have to.
We haven't moved in the same direction in a long time. And
right.
I, too, am a, and I've said this a few times as well, yeah, we need to be able to show more than we talk. But in order to be able to show, you have to have more than just one person doing something. There has to be a certain organization amongst a group. You don't build a community with one family. It takes several families working for the same goal. And in order for there to be a goal, there has to have been some type of communication, organizing, and planning in order for that to happen. You don't build a nation accidentally. You build a nation by having the right people and things in place in order to make that function. And thus my point, like the cities that our ancestors were able to build, and that is because they all came together collectively and wanted the same thing. Yeah, we can all want the same thing, but if we're not coming together talking about what it is we want, what it is that we need, and how to obtain it, how to bring our money together, because that's the first thing that is going to take in order for us to accomplish anything, is in that capacity, is working together as a unit. And that's what we have not been able to do since the 60s is, I think, when it kind of faded away, and that's when the system got involved and started working to split up the black family, take the black man out of the picture. And I think, honestly, too, like I was saying earlier, it's going to take a strong movement from the black man. A very strong and concerted effort from the black man in order to bring about any resemblance of normalcy. And I'm not discounting the black woman, but I'm saying where this system has really taken the masculinity from the black man, And I see it on all of these programs. It's like there's always the homosexual male couple, and they always seem to have to be black males, and that's something that they're, I also feel, force-feeding upon our communities. And I don't knock anybody for their choice, but, you know, that is a choice. I don't feel that people are born that way. That's just a choice you make along the way. But back to my point, like I said, and like I've been saying, right now, in the midst of all this calamity and this these new normals, we really need to be trying to gather ourselves and create a flow that is going to work for us long term, because the government is not concerned about us 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now. And that is where, yeah, people our age are going to have to start making the right sacrifices and doing things that can progress, and not only progress, but capture the minds of our youth, because that's really what we have got to figure out, how to really just capture their minds and how to really get them motivated about themselves. And I can remember having elders, whether they were family members or just friends of the family, but would always tell you the right things. And now, too, I look at, you know, a lot of the things that we do. And I said this earlier, I did a live. I said, how can we be in our 50s and late 50s and we out here trying to shake our butts doing TikTok videos more than these young kids are? How is that respectable? And what, you know, I mean, so we got to start displaying the proper etiquette as well, you know, to be an example and not always just be so quick to jump on the wagon with the fads and things. And then, too, like I say, when you get to a certain age, there's certain things that you just shouldn't want to expose yourself to. But unfortunately, we live in a world that garnishes attention, and everybody wants to be liked and loved. And so social media has made people, like I said, this unsociable. People think texting is communicating. And I told my sister this earlier. People don't call even just to hear a person's voice. And one day that voice is going to be gone. And you'll be longing to hear that voice. But, you know, time has a way of humbling people. Some people. But
yeah,
I mean,
you're right.
Yeah, we have.
One day that voice will be gone, and you'll be wishing you had picked up that phone that one last time.
Yep.
That is so true.
I think another thing we do, and what society has really kind of made us do. A young brother asked me a few weeks back, why do I think time is moving so fast? And I told him that it's because we're moving fast, and not purposefully, but society has us moving fast. You know, 24 hours is more like 18, and then we really don't have time for family like family used to have time for one another, because it's like, you know, you hustling and bustling to keep the lights on, to keep the gas on, to keep food on the table. Right now, everything's starting to get more and more expensive with this shortage happening. So life is a constant hustle and bustle, and society is doing things to keep you constantly moving to survive, and you barely even have time to rest in all of the commotion that we call life. You know, like I say, you work an 8-hour job. If you live in a city, depending on how far it is from your job, well, you may have to drive an hour or an hour and a half, just depending on the traffic. Then you're hustling to get kids. Then you get the kids, and then you're trying to throw together a dinner. Or you're trying to, you know, just go, go, go. Then when you finally get to stop, well, you've got about 7 hours maybe, 8 hours maybe to enjoy family and rest and start the whole crazy cycle over again another day. And like I say, yeah, society doesn't allow us to enjoy the things that we work for, you know. And by the time you are able to enjoy those things, you know, well, you may only have 10 years, 11, 12 years, 15 years left of life. You know, after 65 years, you live to be 80. Well, you get to actually enjoy 15 years at a point in your life where some are still mobile, but, you know, just so many things health-wise can be going on. And like I say, you know, you just really, in this country, you are allowed to work yourself to a grave, period. And when you start, especially when you get around 40, I'll say it was about around 40 for me, you start realizing that your time is not on your side, that time is of the essence and every minute counts. And then when you make 52, well, yeah, you know, not many of us are going, you know, see 52 more years. If I did, I wouldn't complain. But, I mean, just in all reality, you know, those types of numbers and that type of longevity doesn't happen very often now. So, like I was just, you know, telling them that time is really of the essence. And that's why I say, you know, to younger people, to find what it is that you like to do and look for it and try to be doing it by the time you're 25. And make sure, I tell them to make sure that it's something that you really love doing, because that way it's really not like work, like driving. I love it. These last few weeks not being able to work is killing me, because I'm not a still body. I'm used to moving and seeing different places and things. It's just what I've been doing over the last 20 years. So to have to be sitting down is something different to me. And that's why I tell young people, you know, enjoy your youth and make the most of it. So when you get 50, you can, you know, put it in third gear, take it out of fourth gear and break it on down to third gear a little bit. You know, your kids, depending on how old you had them, will be getting older and closer to growing and graduating. And then like I was telling my daughter, you know, you can have your house almost paid for, and if you can do those kind of things by the time you are in your mid-40s, you'll have a little playing room, you know, you can not stress about some of the things that most people at that age will be stressing about, you know. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? You know, and two, like I told them, to pick a career field that is going to be necessary. And transportation, necessary. Because I don't care. Yeah, you can put it on a boat. You can put it on a plane. You can put it on a train. But it's going to take a truck and a trailer to get it to wherever it's going. So those are just, like I say, look at the longevity of whatever it is you're getting into. And like I say, you know, it's just we have people that are knowledgeable in so many areas. And that's why I say we can't be afraid to break away from what's been holding us back, you know. And there's going to come a day when separation is going to happen, whether we want it to or not. It's prophesied. We've got to get ready for power and control. I think, you know, it's coming to us. And that's why we have to make the generations behind us intellectual warriors. I told the brothers at the barbershop the other day, if we really were to bring ourselves together and use our minds, we could take control and not even have to fire a shot. A lot of things we could make
totally
happen
agree.
Effortlessly. We could make them happen effortlessly.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Right, I do. I agree with that. It is definitely a mind. And that's really the only way we'll be able to come up out of this is to do just what you just said.
Yeah, we really got to recondition the mind because, like Sister Queenie said, you know, like you all both were saying, it's more of a mental slavery now because they are not allowed. You know, they still do it anyway, but they're not allowed, supposedly, to just be physical with us. But, you know, the mental aspect is just as damaging as the physical aspect, you know. I had a queen on my show, sister. I love my sister Kia, and she was on the show one night, and we were talking, and I made the comment that we've got to stop being fearful, and she said, "You know what, Brother Melvin, I don't even think we're fearful. I don't think that's it. I think we just feel defeated." And that has stuck with me because I do truly feel like that, and I agree with that. So, I mean, 100% now, because, you know, people who are defeated are people that don't even try because they feel like there's no reason to try. Because no matter what we do, we're going to lose, you know. And for the most part, that's what this society has done to, 60 or 70% of us collectively feel that way. And when she said that, that really hit home with me because I really don't, you know, I mean, yeah, fear, that's a little different, and that's a strong word. Defeated, that was even stronger than fear because, point, like I say, where, yeah, you're not even going to make an effort because you feel like there's really no use in it, you know. So when she said that to me, that was really powerful, my sister. But, yeah, there's just so many things working against us. And like I was saying, you know, there are things that we can do that effortlessly would turn the tide in our favor, where we could finally have some type of comfort and relief. And that's really what it is that we want. We want our own place, and we want to be left alone. Just like, you know, when you're growing up, you're under your mama's roof, you know, your parents' roof, and you got to abide by their rules. You can't wait to get grown. You don't realize getting grown means paying your own bills and feeding your own hungry stomach and all that comes with it, but you adjust and adapt to that. And we as a people are, I think, the most adaptable. We have always had the ability to adapt to whatever situation or whatever adversity it is that we face. And that's one thing I do love about us as a people. We know how to struggle. We don't know how to do a whole lot of things, but we do know how to struggle. And within a hard struggle, we will work together. But why does it always have to be only within a struggle? That's my point. We need to learn how to work together to eliminate the struggle so we don't even have to struggle no more, you know. And that's really what it boils down to. Because like I say, yeah, I love how we can body slam a struggle. And people always wonder, how do black folks, how do they do it? I wouldn't want to be them. Nobody wants to be us, but everybody wants to be us. How do we do it? How do we continue to have the swag that everybody wants? You know, how do we continue to be as creative and trend-setting as we are, even in the face of so much adversity and mistreatment? We still have always maintained the ability to struggle and struggle elegantly. If that makes
look,
sense.
Struggling, we make it look good, don't we?
We definitely do. We definitely do, sister.
That's how
yeah,
tight
that's
we are with the struggles. We struggle and we make it look good. So much to the point to where everybody wants to flaunt our struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the things that we have kept and salvaged from our struggle, they want to do it for fun.
Exactly.
But, hey, this has been a really good conversation.
Thank you. Yeah, I got about 5 minutes left, looks like. Yeah, I do appreciate you all calling in. And it, closing remark you want to make?
No, I thank you so much for allowing me to speak my point. For a minute, it might have felt like I was being rude. I do apologize. Wasn't trying to speak over you or anything like that. But,
no
yeah,
problem.
I just think we just need to start. We just need to start looking at things from a different perspective. And I think once we do that, it won't be no stopping us.
I do agree. I often tell young couples that I see, pay attention to your mate, because black love is important. I just really love to see the black family. And I guess in closing, I'll just touch on that, because I can remember wanting my dad to be there. You know, I had a stepdad, don't get me wrong, but nothing is like your dad or your mom, your parent. Now, my granddad was very active in my life, really taught me many lessons as a young man on how to be a man. And I try to incorporate that into my life now. Being a man in this country, you have to know how to stand your ground. You have to know how to fight and stand up and know when to fight. Because every fight, you got to pick your battles, as the saying goes. It is really essential for us as the black man to reestablish ourselves and to regain our respect and our position. Because that's really what it's about. It's about the position, and it's about the role that you play, because I strongly believe that the man is needed to provide and protect and to lead, and the woman is there to nurture, to teach, and also provide that home atmosphere, and just, you know, in general. And we both have roles to play, you know, that father for that hard love, that mother for that soft, nurturing, caring love. Together we create a balance. Together we are one. We, as the black man, need the black woman to help us, to guide us, to show us how to be a better man, to show us how to lead better, provide better, protect better. And also, the black woman needs the black man to be that provider, that protector, and also to keep her in balance as well. We need one another. Our children need to see that so that they can know that is what's normal. And there's nothing wrong with loving one man. And there's nothing wrong with loving one woman. And when we can create the normalcy that is required for progression, things will move in a manner that they are supposed to move in. But we have to first give our young men and our young women that sense of self-respect, self-pride, and self-worth. Because we are somebody, regardless of what this system says, regardless of what society says, regardless of what this world says. We were here first, and we were here first for a reason. I want to thank you, Sister Kim and Sister Queenie, once again for calling in. I want to thank everybody who listened online. I want to thank my listeners from overseas in Germany, Philippines, Ireland, and all the other places, Canada as well. Boston, Massachusetts, who will get the show on Friday. Thank you all, too, for making me part of that family. As always, you know, I love y'all. I get on here not for fame, not for money. I get on here because I truly want to see people be able to live freely. I really want to see people be able to enjoy a life, a just life, a full life. And it's up to us to take care of one another. We need each other out here. And like I always say in closing, let's plan, organize, and unify, because we all have a key. I'm out until next week. This has been the Panther Party Radio Network. This has been The Big Picture, once again, with Melvin Seary Jr. I'm out. Peace, power, and love, family. Till next Monday.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
Politics.
Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Playing used to rally downtown in my city. And you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity. That's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city. It's all over the TV. Martin Luther King. I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent the hit. But the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame. And never take no wooden nickels when they all change. I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see if their pictures worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the six fence but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with them trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick. But it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt. Homie, I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.